The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner, the fish. This was now the third time Jesus revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, Do you love me? Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this to signify by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, Follow me. The Gospel of the Lord. Peter and the disciples were not men that were instructed in reading and writing. They were very simple men. But there's one thing that they took pride in doing very well. There's one thing that they knew that they were the best at. And that is fishing. Now, they were all night doing just that. And what did they catch? Nothing. So now it's early in the morning. They knew that it simply was not the time for fishing anymore. They knew that. But the Lord said just one time to them, cast your nets, and they did, and they had a huge catch. Those men were so impressed, they never forget exactly how many fish there were, 153 large fish. And this day, they learned something very important. Jesus Christ is not just a spiritual man that tells us beautiful spiritual things. That can be a temptation, you know, to think Christianity is all about spirituality, you know, talking about heaven, about prayers, about just being spiritual, whatever that means. But that's not what it is. To come into a right relationship with the Lord means we have come to know God, who has absolute authority over everything. Yes, including that area in our life that we know that we're so good at. And so to be truly a Christian, a disciple of Christ, means that we submit to Him. Not just some kind of a spiritual life and say some prayers. It means my whole life is under the authority of the Lord. My business, my family, my leisure time, everything. And so I have to have a way to truly turn to Him and submit to Him everything in a way that I'm truly being obedient. So that I do what He tells me to do. To learn this is a lifelong process. And it happens as we pay attention to Him and learn to listen to the Lord, entering deeper and deeper into our lives. Do not allow anything to be your own personal independent life where you don't allow God to get into. After that experience, when Peter understood very well that Jesus is the Lord and that Jesus is a better fisherman than he is, because God knows everything and can do everything, is that we have this beautiful call of Jesus to Peter, calling him to be his representative on earth. But not just the representative of somebody who goes away or dies, because Jesus is alive and risen. So to be a representative of Jesus means that we empty ourselves of our own ego. Like St. Paul said, no longer I live, but now Jesus Christ lives in me. So the living Christ is working through Peter, teaching and guiding the church, shepherding the church. And the Lord commands him, feed my sheep. There is one shepherd, Jesus Christ the Lord, and he works and acts and leads the church through Peter and his successors. Now, Jesus asked Peter 3 times. Why? Because Jesus had denied him 3 times. And so he's giving him the opportunity to do reparation, to be completely healed, completely forgiven, completely now installed and assured of his new identity, his new mission, to be the vicar of Christ. Now notice that in Matthew 16, verses 17 and 18, the Lord Jesus also calls Peter in Caesarea Philippi. And in that occasion, Peter proclaims, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in that occasion, Jesus tells Peter that you are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. So in that occasion, Jesus was linking the papacy, the shepherding of the people, with a profession of faith. Teach the truth, the doctrine, the magisterium, the true way of Christ. In this occasion, however, in this gospel of today, Jesus is linking the papacy to love. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And so Peter must now lead the church in the true doctrine and in love, because Jesus Christ is love and truth. And you cannot separate those two. If you love my people, if you love me, then feed them with love and with truth. That is the mission of Peter and all his successors. And in different ways, it is also our vocation as we join in the body of Christ. And to that extent, we are truly church when we are faithful to the truth and when we love as Jesus calls us to love. Now notice that Jesus asks the 3 times, do you love me? How come he never said, do you also love the people? Because Peter is not called to love the people as Peter. In other words, it's not Peter loving the people anymore. Peter has to die. Peter has to get out of the way. What Peter has to do from now on is identify so perfectly with Jesus Christ, love Jesus Christ so much that he allows Jesus to love the people. So that when Peter loves and serves and leads the church, it's no longer Peter. He has to be the Lord. Allow the love that I have given you. Allow my presence to shine through you. That is the call of the apostle. That is the call of Peter. What a great gift that we in the church have. A shepherd anointed by Christ himself to lead us. No wonder the world, the media will do all possible to strike at him, to confuse, to attack the church. Now, in these Sundays after Easter, notice that the first readings are from the Acts of the Apostles. And they speak to us about the early church, the church here on earth, the Jerusalem people that were struggling with witnessing in very difficult circumstances. They were being persecuted to the point that their lives were in danger, and yet they considered it an honor to suffer for Christ. They were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And yet they said, we have to obey God rather than men. Well, perhaps today, at least for the meantime, they don't tell us not to speak in the name of Jesus, but they will tell us not to do what Jesus told us to do. To mitigate somehow, to change Christianity to fit the expectations of the world. And this is a challenge that is already here now, today, for all of us. Are we going to dilute and change our faith to fit the world, to fit the expectations of others upon us? Or are we going to be obedient to the Lord and live and teach the truth? That is a challenge of every shepherd, of every parent. Now, the second reading on this week's after Easter Sunday are from the book of Revelations. And they speak to us about the church in heaven. And what do they do in heaven? Everyone is praising God, adoring the Lamb that was slain and is now triumphant, victorious. There were countless in numbers, and they cried out in a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing. And John, the apostle, is seeing this in this mystical experience and writing it down and passing it on to the early Christians that were being persecuted. And as they got hold of this vision, as the Christians understood what is going on in heaven, they understood that they are called to share in this glory, this honor, this wisdom, this riches that are the Lamb's and all those who are united with him. And they saw that the Lamb that was slain now in heaven still bears the marks of the suffering here on earth. And therefore, they were filled with joy, and they understood that it was worthwhile to stand fast and to suffer for Christ. No cheap grace. Yes, it is a struggle. It is a big fight. There is great things at stake and great suffering for Christ. But as they saw the vision of heaven, they were filled with hope and with joy. So not only those in heaven were adoring the Lamb that was slain, now all the faithful on earth joined with them. So there is only one church, already triumphant in heaven, the saints worshiping the Lord, and those of us who are still militant on earth, struggling, fighting the fight, being threatened, suffering, but with our eyes set on Jesus, who is triumphant. Then also, there is purgatory, that temporary stage Those who die and they were not completely purified, they go through this period of purification, but they already know they are on their way to heaven. But there's only one church, and that's what we call the communion of saints. And we can help one another, pray for one another, support one another, and this pleases the Lord, because the Lord calls us to love as He loves, as we are united with the Lamb that was slain. We are called to love and to preach the truth. Brothers and sisters, what challenging times we're living. What great opportunities, therefore, to be like the early church and to consider an honor to stand fast, to witness to the truth, and to suffer for the Lord.